Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is Four Questions with Lonnie Martin. If you listen to the previous podcast, you know Lonnie Martin was the writer and director of The Last of the Manson Girls. And you can check out that excellent film that won awards at Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2019. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and I believe it's you can rent it on iTunes. So go for it. Watch The Last of the Manson Girls. But, you know, besides having filmmakers come in here and talk about how their films came together and how they became filmmakers, it's always fun to ask the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And you might know, you probably don't, but you might know that Lonnie is a instructor at a university in West Virginia and in the film department. He's like starting a film department, essentially. So I knew his picks were going to be good, and he did not disappoint. So without making you wait any longer, here are Lonnie Martin's answers to the Discover Indie Film Four Questions.
My favorite movie of all time is Jaws. And I say, because this is always a hard question to answer, because, like, what are your favorite movies, right? My favorite movie is Jaws. It's a perfect movie. It's the one movie that if I catch on TV, no matter what I'm doing, if I see Jaws, I'm going to stop, I'm going to watch wherever, I'm going
to
pick up.
Even if you have to sit through commercials.
And I will watch Jaws. Like, that's what that movie is. Has everything. The only thing, people always say it doesn't really have a love story, but it kind of does. It's got Brody and his wife, right? It's kind of the love story. And Brody and his kids. But it's just a perfect, it's a perfect piece of cinematic entertainment.
I thought you were going to say that Dreyfus and Shaw's a love story.
Oh, it is a torture.
Because they right, it goes, it's the classic story of they start off hating each other and then they learn to love it, and the scar scene and this and that. It's sort of a bromance.
In a Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf kind of way.
I interrupted.
No, it's great. I agree. It is kind of a bromance, right? Jaws is number one with a bullet. My second favorite, this is no order. After here's no order. But the other one that comes to mind is a Czech movie called Daisies, directed by Vera Chitlova in 1968, part of the Czech New Wave. It's kind of an experimental film, but it's about these two women in 1968 who decide the world thinks we're bad, so we're going to go get bad. We're going to go be bad. And they, like, go to dinner with these old, we get these old men to buy them dinner, and then they send them on the train before they sleep with them. And then it's this non-linear, beautifully done, crazy experimental kind of art film of these two women wasting food and just having the time of their lives. And it's joyous, and it's a great, great movie. And it is one of my, favorite films. Those are certainly two sides of the flip coin. And then Night of the Living Dead. The original
Night of the Living Dead,
George Romero, and again, sort of the indie film, I think it's a perfect horror film. I think when it came out, it was just, I know for a fact that when it came out, it was just groundbreaking and shocking, and I just love it. I watch it every Halloween, I watch it, and it's such a wonderful, again, just I can, it's one of those movies I can just watch over and over and over and love, so.
For sure, the black and white.
The black and white, yeah. The original Romero black and white. Yeah.
So. Good stuff. Well, question two. Good three. Question two is the underrated one.
The underrated one. So a movie I think that is very underrated is The Cable Guy. My philosophy is that comedy and horror, it's all hysteria. So the same part of the brain responds to it. Comedy done badly is horrific. Horror done badly is funny, right? So our brain responds to those things. And The Cable Guy rides that line in a way that I don't know whether to laugh or scream at some of this stuff, right? And it's meant to be a comedy. But it's sort of very frightening. I think it says something about Jim Carrey's performance that it's such a real, there's such a real pathos to that character's obsession with Ben Stiller's character. And I just think that it's underrated because it's not really a comedy at all. It's a horror movie.
I think it's definitely a horror movie. I think they play it as a horror movie.
Do they play it as a horror movie?
I don't know. Well, when I say play it as, I don't know, I feel like that might have been Hollywood didn't know what to do with it when they marketed it because
it came out.
It was supposed to be the next Ace Ventura.
Yeah, it came out in Carry Mania, right?
Yeah,
but it was this weird.
It was the first time one of his films didn't do huge.
Funny, going back to satire or you know the love of like Ben Stiller's like Tropic Thunder. I mean, Ben Stiller as a director is sort of a wonderful and amazing irreverent satirist. So that's my underrated.
Well, now you get to do your overrated.
This is where I lose everybody. I think the most overrated movie I have ever seen is Punch Drunk Love.
Oh yeah,
Punch Drunk Love. Yeah, I didn't.
Well, it's the least popular Paul Thomas Anderson, but
oh yeah, I just was.
But
was,
you hate it.
It just really I don't. Not I just hate, but thought dislike. It was pretentious in a way that. I just nothing landed with me, and I just funny. I haven't seen it since it first came out.
Me either.
Nothing, and I keep meaning to go back and change my mind because I used to. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind didn't land on me all that great when I first saw it. Right, I liked it, but I was like, well, it's not what Radiohead fans tell me Radiohead is. Right, it wasn't that. You know, just it wasn't this genius thing. But then when I revisited it later when I was a little bit older. And it really did resonate. It resonated with me in a different way. And so I wonder if, like, I was a little too young, because I was, I guess, early 20s when Punch Drunk Love came out. Maybe I didn't quite, wasn't ready for what the movie was trying to tell me.
Possibly.
But as it stands right now, I have to admit, I
thought it was superb.
Yeah.
I loved it.
The Philip Seymour Hoffman stuff was great. But that's my memory of it. That's all I can really remember.
I mean,
right?
For me, I'm a contemporary of Sandler, mm-hmm. and always enjoyed his comedy.
Oh, I love
and then when he stepped into Spanglish and that, I just loved the change, and I loved the darkness, and I don't know. I always remember him kicking out that with that glass door with his sisters.
And I just remember, and then it comes to conversation, I'm like, oh, it's a movie.
Maybe you'll like it if you see it again. So but honestly, I don't know. You know, I love everything Paul Thomas Anderson does.
I think he's great. He, again, I've sort of gone back and forth a little bit. But I think he is a great filmmaker. So make no mistake that I'm not.
By the way, I always I've said it too many times, but overrated doesn't mean bad.
Yeah.
It just means, you know, people hold it up on such a pedestal and it doesn't deserve it. I mean, I could throw out, I don't really think it's overrated, but I could say Boogie Nights is overrated because a lot of people think that's his best. Right. And I don't. I think There Will Be Blood is like 10 times the movie that Boogie Nights is.
Sure.
So I would say Boogie Nights is overrated. I love it. I'll watch it 100 more times, but I won't. But I'll watch it again and again if I have the opportunity. But it's not the movie There Will Be Blood is for me.
Yeah, and not to digress too much, a lot of my recent movie watching the past few years, I have revisited stuff that I was either loved the first time around and have watched it and been like, oh, wait, I see the cracks in the facade. Or the opposite, stuff that I haven't, that I remember watching the first time around and revisiting and being like, oh, man, this is real. This is way better than I remember, right? You know?
I think it's the expectations game.
Yes.
Because the first time you see it, whatever your expectations were, the second time, there's often a flip. For me, I'll tell you later when we stop with mics.
Okay.
Your fourth question is that lesser known film that people should seek out.
You're gonna have to edit out a little bit of dead air here because this one is the one I didn't really prepare. The lesser known.
Well, it's funny because your Czech art film definitely could have been the lesser known because
for sure, and it is a lesser known film. Although it's people who are into old school film critics, it's on a lot of top 10 lists of that. This is sort of sidestepping the question a little bit. There's a movie, a silent film from the 30s called Sunrise. A tale of two lovers, a tale of two sunrise. I don't even remember what the subtitle is. It's called Sunrise, and it's a silent film about this man who lives out in the. It's a little bit, I guess, sexist now in modern terms. This man lives out in like the countryside. It's sort of the this past, you know, lives out in the countryside, lives with his wife, and he has this sort of boring life, and this woman from the city comes and takes him to the city and shows him all these wonderful things. He has this wondrous love affair, right? And it's like cutting to him having this sort of dreamy, wonderful love affair of, you know, kind of this evil woman from the city who's taking him and showing him all the world. And it's sort of intercut with his wife, who is like wanting him to come back to him, and she, I won't give away the ending, she takes drastic measures. And it's sort of this weird, like, parable.
Of the change from agrarian society to industrial society and city life, rural to city.
It's a beautiful, beautiful film. It's beautifully shot. It does experimental. It plays with sort of time. And there's a lot of that, the Art Deco art design to it. Like, the city is a fantasy city. You know, the woman is a fantasy woman that takes him there. And it's beautiful. It's a sad film that doesn't end well. But it's a beautifully, beautifully shot film. The idea of that we have to love this thing we should try to love the things we have in our life and not take them for granted. It's sort of the ultimate lesson of the film. It's a beautiful film school, and I've always liked older black and white films and classic Hollywood, but film school for sure really sort of planted this love of like early cinema and silent cinema, and I became a big Billy Wilder fan in film school. But yeah, that would be Sunrise, A Tale of Two Something. It's 1935, I think. So.
It's funny, I should have looked it up, but we're good.
Yeah.
Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans. Yeah, I had to look it up. It was directed by F.W. Murnau, who I think we've all heard of. Written by Carl Meyer, Herman Sunderman, starring George O'Brien and Janet Gaynor. And I bet it's really good. Lonnie has really good taste. You definitely had to enjoy his list. And you know what I didn't say after his interview is, how engaging is Lonnie? Lonnie could do his own podcast. I bet I should just call him up once a week and just shoot the blank with him, because Lonnie's a smart, interesting, highly invested individual when it comes to film. So, yeah. I want to thank Lonnie for coming in and doing an interview, which was the previous podcast, and answering the four questions, which was this podcast. And again, like I said at the opening, watch his film, The Last of the Manson Girls. It's really good. And you can watch it on Amazon Prime Video or iTunes and Apple and whatnot. Just at this point, there's so many ways to watch films online. Just search out The Last of the Manson Girls. And the wrap-up here is, after you watch The Last of the Manson Girls, check out Discovery Indie Film, the TV series that we're doing for Amazon Prime Video. It's an anthology of the best shorts from the festival circuit, and it's great. So if you like independent film, go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. And what do they say? Subscribe, rate, enjoy, give it 5 stars, give everything 5 stars. Talking about 5 stars, give this podcast 5 stars. I think you're supposed to subscribe and review the podcast, give it 5 stars. And the last piece of business I got to do is the film festivals. I met Lonnie through Film Invasion Los Angeles, where his film, Last of the Manson Girls, won a couple of awards. And Film Invasion LA runs every June. You can learn more about it at filminvasionla.com, or at Film Invasion LA is its handle for all social media. And I also program the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that comes every November. And to learn more about that, go to shermanoaksff.com or on social media, it's at shermanoaksff. Okay, I think I've said enough. I'm in radio host mode. Time to thank you for listening and say goodbye.